Just want to warn our viewers out there listening to the PatCast Radio that we use some pretty heavy and explicit language during this episode of the PatCast. I just want y'all to be forewarned.
Are we rolling right now, or are we talking as friends? Or both?
I'm rolling now, but I wasn't. But we were talking as friends. Now we're talking as professional colleagues.
Oh wait, sorry, we are rolling.
We are rolling, yeah. Continue the sex.
Oh, my bad. Oh, I'm going to shit my pants.
Welcome to the PatCast.
Come have a blast, step on the gas, smack a giraffe, it's the PatCast. Come talk fast, pass some gas, make it last. It's the PatCast, 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 hey man, it's badass. PatCast, PatCast, Pat, 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 hey, it's the PatCast.
Welcome to the PatCast, it's episode 83. Unfortunately, we didn't plan this correctly. It really would have been good for 82, but whatever. It's too late. 82 has already been done.
We can pretend.
I'm Patrick. We can pretend, yeah. 82.5, 82.5, whatever.
Perfect.
I'm Patrick, your host of the PatCast, and joining me, this is actually before I even say joining me, this is the season 8 premiere of the PatCast.
Ooh.
Eighth anniversary of the PatCast.
Very exciting. So,
yeah, very exciting stuff. And we've got a very special guest to kick off season 8. We've got Long Island radio personality John Online from 106.1 BLI, a.k.a. John Mingione, a.k.a. Joy Riot's frontman, a.k.a. former Late Night with Jimmy Fallon intern, a.k.a. and most importantly today, Blink-182 expert.
Was that the longest intro you've ever given anybody?
Easily, yes.
Wow, yeah, we wear a lot of hats over here.
You do. You know, you always have. You've worn many hats in the times that I've known you. Actually, I don't think I've ever seen you wear a hat.
I'm wearing a hat right now. It's actually the, believe it or not, it's Mark Hoppus, the bass player of Blink, has this company called Hi, My Name is Mark. And
yes.
It's just his logo is a big octopus. So I often, do you ever drunk shop? Have you done that online?
I have not, actually. That is something I haven't partaken in.
I don't know why, like, sometimes I'll get drunk and I'll come home and I'll just, like, start shopping online. It's a weird thing. So it's like Christmas at my house. I just continuously get these packages from Hi, My Name is Mark, and I'm like, oh, I guess I bought a bunch of t-shirts. So half of my wardrobe
That's got to be a common thing, right? I mean, with people, I feel like, you know, people who, well, I don't know that you're a shopping addict, but I feel like, well, and I'm not saying you're a drunk either, but I feel like that's probably a common thing, drunk shopping.
Yeah, I get home and
that's
I'm like,
gotta
oh.
That's got to be common.
But half of my clothes are Mark Hoppus octopus, and everybody always asks, what's the octopus? And I just kind of – I come up with different stories. I say I'm sponsored by this company. I tell them it's a new American Eagle logo. I don't say any of those things. Yeah. It's terrible.
Well, next time you're drinking and shopping, think of me and text me. I'll give you my address, and you can send me something.
Only if I'm at Victoria's Secret.
Oh, perfect. That's my favorite store to shop at.
Great. And actually, you did say Joy Riot's frontman. Actually, we changed the name yet again.
We've changed. Well, that's okay. We can break the news here.
We'll break the news. We're
live.
So I'm doing a thing. I think we're going to call it Sub-Coastal. Sub-Coastal.
Dub-Coastal.
Sub. Like
that works.
Like Subway. Like Sub.
Oh, Sub. I said Dub.
Yeah. Dub-Coastal. Like, yeah. That could be our side project.
good. The remix is Dub-Coastal.
But yeah, so. I still haven't released anything yet. Still working on it. Still working on the videos.
Mm-hmm.
You released everything before I was even ready. It was still Joy Riots, but
I did.
That's awesome.
That was a monumental evening. We broke listenership that night. It was a record at that time for PatCast Radio listenership. It was a fun night for everybody, I think.
All right, dude. Let's get into Blink. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life.
We've been waiting for this moment since the last we were almost dove into it last time. There was not enough time. There's hopefully enough time today. And we've had a lot of tragedies, you know, this year.
Oh yeah.
Topping the list, Blink-182, for you being their biggest fan of all time. Back in wasn't it January when like the news kind of broke? They were like, Tom's out of the band. So how did you feel at that moment? Was I the first one that texted you about it?
So yet again, yes, I do consider myself the biggest Blink-182 fan alive. However, whenever there's new news or a brand new song that's been leaked or something, you, Pat, are always the person to text me, which is fantastic. And so thank you. I don't even need to like go on my Blink sites anymore because I have you. Yeah. But
well, I have a problem. I mean, I wouldn't really say that I am, but I guess I am. I'm somewhat of like a social media addict in a way that I follow a ton of stuff, and I'm always on top of like whatever's going on or what, you know. I can tell, especially when a story's breaking online, when like my Twitter feed's blowing up of like, you know, Blink-182 quit, you know, Tom quits, he didn't quit, this, that, and the other. Everything's like freaking out. So if I see something that pertains to any of my friends that I know that they really like, I'm usually going to go out of my way to just be like, hey, this is going on. You should probably look into it.
Yeah, you showed me. You told me about the breakup, and you told me. You showed me their song. What song?
He was up all night.
No, what? When they put out Neighborhoods, it was Hearts All Gone. You showed me.
Hearts All Gone. Yeah.
And I remember, right. I was in New Paltz. I was in college. This is four years ago, and you texted me new Blink song, and I think I responded with "Fuck you." And cause I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you. And then you
right. Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I sat on the floor of my New Paltz, my then house, my college room house. I sat on the floor. I don't know why. I was probably on some kind of a substance. But anyway, yeah. So I listened to that song. It's very old Blink sounding, that song, and I was just blown away. So thank you for that news. But when you gave me the news when you gave me the news that they broke up, or that Tom was quitting, or whatever the hell it was, my first thing, I was like, oh, this. No way. This has to be a rumor. Not again. Not after everything that's happened, because they broke up like once before, twice before. They had that weird, awkward thing with Boxcar Racer when Tom and Travis cheated on Mark, and Mark wasn't cool with it, but they did it anyway. Yeah. And then they threw him the song Elevator. They said, Mark, sing guest vocals on Elevator. That'll hold you over. But he was still pissed.
Yeah.
But after all that, and then they went on another tour, and they were talking about doing a new album, and then all of a sudden we have this news that Tom is quitting. I was like, I texted all my Blink friends. We were really sad for a couple of days there. But yeah, so
well, I think the world was shocked, as far as, you know, the Blink-182 universe of fans were. It just seemed out of the blue. And I think the worst part about it, I think it was in that first interview that leaked with Rolling Stone, with like Mark and Travis, when they came out with this news. They said something like, this was the exact same chain of events that happened when they broke up back in, whenever it was, 2004.
I think it was 2000. Yeah, 2004. Now, I gotta say, when the news came out that Blink broke up, you gotta remember, I work at a pop radio station. I work at like for, you know, they're playing the new Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. So when I'm sure. walking around, moping around that Blink 182 broke up, no one gives a shit. No one cares.
Right.
But and I need to
it's
prove
not,
to them.
It's not 2001 anymore.
if it could be 1999 forever. That would be
forever. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. We years ago we did a 1999 episode of the podcast where we talked about how great it was.
It was a great year,
and it really was. It was so fantastic. But that's a whole other deal.
We'll get into the 90s at a different point. But yeah, but so nobody cared around the pop station. I had a couple friends who were mildly interested in Blink, so they knew that I was like bummed out. My producer who's here with me now, Johnny, did you care? Johnny, on a scale of 1 to 10, when you heard that Blink broke up, Johnny, did you care at all?
A little. On a scale from 1 to 10, I think we're talking maybe like 4. So it's not nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was. What year was it?
This was this year. This just happened when I told you that Tom quit. Like,
I didn't know about this year. I'm talking about like back in the day when they were hot. Yeah. No, right now I don't care all that much.
So he didn't even know. He didn't even know.
Right.
So I had nobody to talk about it with except for you, Pat. So,
well, I'm always here for you.
But now the internet at large. So that week was a funny week, because for me it was almost as if somebody in my life had died, because everybody knows how much I love Blink. So my email was blowing up, and my phone was blowing up, and my Facebook inbox. People were like, everybody was telling me what had happened with Tom, and I just had to respond to everyone, like, I know, okay, enough. And so when that Mark and Travis interview came out, honestly, and I've always been a Mark guy. Mark has been my hero. Mm-hmm. Mark Hoppus has been my hero since fourth grade, and I've always looked up to him.
I've always been more of a Mark guy than a Tom guy.
Yeah, Mark is just, he was, and I picked up the bass because of Mark, and literally people say that when I sing, I sound like Mark, probably probably because I've just forced myself to sound like him throughout the years, but now it just happens. But so I've always had his side, like Angels and Airwaves plus 44. I followed plus 44 more. I mean, loved Angels and Airwaves. Yeah. Loved them, but plus 44.
Yeah, still bummed plus 44 didn't do any more than the one album.
Yeah, they kind of, Angels and Airwaves far surpassed them as far as.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I really wish, because I came across a link not too long ago, a Blink link, I want to call it, and it was like an interview with Mark from like 2008 or 9 saying they were like working on the second album, and I'm like, well, I wonder how much of that ever even ended up existing.
True, I wonder if they're still old.
We never got it.
When the Mark and Travis Rolling Stone interview came out, to be honest, I was a little pissed at Mark and Travis. I felt like they kind of were just throwing out their side of the argument, because obviously there's two sides to this, and I feel like they were just talking shit about Tom. Like, to be honest, like, I mean, I know that Tom was probably wrong in all of this, but
yeah, and he's done it before, so
since he's done it before, but at the same time, it just felt kind of cheap of Mark and Travis to just go to Rolling Stone and just throw this out there. Now, I wish that I could be a fly on the wall with them and their conversations, and I wish that I was able to actually know what went down between the three of them. But to a diehard Blink fan who loves Mark Hoppus, I was like, oh, really, Mark, you're just really throwing Tom under the bus 100% without really giving his side of the story. I felt like they were really trying hard to make Tom seem like the biggest asshole, and it worked. A lot of my Blink fan friends.
Yeah, turned on Tom, yeah.
Hashtag, that's a perfect hashtag, turned on Tom.
Mm-hmm. Turned on Tom. He'd like it, I think. He'd approve.
Two of my really big Tom DeLonge advocates were against Tom. They were like more Mark and Travis, and I was like, guys, like, We gotta see. Tom's gonna post something, and then I believe it was the next day he posted that hilarious random picture of some dude like dressed as an alien, kind of explained that there were two sides of the story, and that it was his manager who had said. Now I don't think that Tom's lying. I don't think that Tom ever lied. I think he just withheld stuff.
He also said he didn't quit. That was the weird thing, is that it was just, like, he said he didn't quit. It was the manager thing. So that was like, it was like, I texted you one day, I'm like, Tom quit. And then I texted you the next day, I'm like, never mind, Tom didn't quit.
Well, exactly.
It was a confusing couple of days.
Because I felt like it was probably an awkward thing between Tom and Mark and Travis. Like, through all of this, so what the press was saying is that Tom quit. And
there was no communication, it sounds like, with him. It was just through Tom's manager. So they weren't, all they were hearing was that Tom's out. Which means that translates to Tom quit. So they're not talking to Tom, because the only way they can talk to Tom is through this manager.
That sucks also. Like, what you would think that the three dudes who got famous together from being childhood friends, you would think that they would still communicate amongst themselves, and they would never communicate through managers. But I guess maybe they
can just call or text.
But I'm sure that they've done so many things. They've gone on world tours, sold out the Garden a million times. So maybe they're too big to communicate with each other. But fuck that, right? Like, I don't know. But so I felt like there was just probably a lack of communication, and Tom probably said something like, "Yo, I can't do Blink right now. Like, I need some time to do all." He's doing all his book stuff, and he's doing film stuff. So I bet you it was like Tom was like, "Yo, like, I'm indefinite right now about when I could come back to Blink." And I bet Mark and Travis were like, fuck this, we want you now, so we're just going to go ahead and just start doing it without you. And then they kind of put out the false pretense that Tom had quit, or that Tom was leading to quit. And I get it. From their point, they were angry, but I just think it should have been handled differently.
Yeah, his exact quote from that post, he said, "Our relationship got poisoned yesterday. Never planned on quitting. Just find it hard as hell to commit."
There you go. And that's exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I bet you he was just like being a dick and not getting back to them, or not responding, or not telling them what was up, not giving them a straight answer.
Yeah, just working on – and he was pretty much just working on what he thought was more a priority to him, like what he wanted. I mean, because, you know, he could go to Blink if he wanted to. He just had these other things that he probably thought took, you know, precedence over Blink. You know, Angels and Airwaves, 9 Angels and Airwaves albums, a solo album, a comic, whatever he's doing, worrying about UFOs.
Yeah, and also with his book stuff, like, I wonder if anybody actually cares. I wonder if he actually makes any money off of his book. Like, I'm sure that, like, did diehard Tom DeLonge fans, but like,
yes, there are certain fans. I mean, I'm sure, you know, especially ones that have enough money these days to just buy every single thing that comes out. I'm not one of them. I love Blink-182. I don't think I'm as big of a fan as you by any stretch, but I'm not planning on buying a Tom DeLonge comic book, nor am I planning on probably buying, you know, every single album he's planning on putting out, however many that may be.
Exactly.
Unless I just really like something I hear, but you know, I don't think that's going to be the case. Right
yeah,
now.
I don't think
but,
that I would. I don't think that I'm going to read the book. Maybe I'll watch the film. Maybe I'll watch his movies that he put out.
Oh yeah, and the film too. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But then this whole thing comes about with Matt Skiba. I'm sure you want to get into Skiba stuff.
Oh, well, of course, we got to get to the Skiba chapters. But they already had this date lined up anyway with Matt Skiba, correct? Like they had a concert that they were already planned with him prior to the split because Tom couldn't do it because of another commitment with Angels and Airwaves or something.
Well, no, actually, believe it or not, that concert, that was Travis's concert. Wait, the name is escaping me. Tattoo Ink Fest, whatever it was. It was something Tattoo Fest. It was Travis Barker was running the concert, and they had planned to do. They didn't plan on doing it with Skiba. They were doing it They were doing it with Tom.
I just thought for some reason, I thought it was already like planned just because Tom couldn't do it. So maybe that's what I misread.
I think that was the, is the saying the straw that broke the camel's back? Is that the saying?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that was what did it, because Tom had committed to the concert with Mark and Travis as Blink-182, and then when the dates came closer, I think Tom backed out and said, sorry, I can't do this. Travis and Mark said, what the fuck? You have to do this. Yeah. It's Travis's concert. Travis is running this whole thing. How could you do this? So that's when they said, screw it. We're doing it with Matt Skiba. And then, I didn't even know that it was pronounced Skiba until this. Matt Skiba. I knew that from Alkaline Trio, obviously the lead singer Matt Skiba.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I just knew that it existed. I never knew how to pronounce it, but now I do. So, yes. I guess they said, "Fuck it, we'll get Matt Skiba," and then they played a bunch of. They ended up playing a bunch of like practice shows, I guess, with him. And I'm not gonna lie, when I found out they were playing shows around California with Skiba before this big like Tattoo Fest, I streamed some of the shows I watched some of the live shows that they did with Matt Skiba, and dude, I couldn't even believe that I felt the way that I did, because having Blink-182 is Mark Hoppus, is Travis Barker, it's Tom DeLonge. I mean, obviously, their old drummer Scott Rayner was there up until Dude Ranch. I'll even consider him a Blinkanite, but bringing somebody else into the band and then calling it Blink-182, that was kind of fucked up to me. But when I watched the shows back, when I watched the streaming shows, I was so impressed and pumped up, because Matt Skiba was honestly like 1999 Tom DeLonge that I grew up and loved. He was wearing the backwards hat. He was wearing Tom changed up the way that he looks a little bit, changed up his style. Matt Skiba had that raw punk rock San Diego, California look going. So the pictures of Blink with Matt Skiba, it's almost like insert old Tom here with Matt. And also, he sounded good. The guitar playing was good. It was cool. And I couldn't believe that I was supportive of them with Skiba.
Right. Yeah, that seems to be the general thing. Like, when I was reading reviews after that, everybody was so into that. Like, and just like that they felt like you did before. They were like, how dare you bring someone else in? But after they saw it or saw, you know, YouTube videos, everyone was blown away, and you know, they were like, I think we're okay with this. So it's strange how that works out. But honestly, I mean, thousands of bands have been in this situation, you know, in the past. This is, you know, a tale as old as time with bands. Like, you know, members come and go, bands continue on, fans are, you know, like, well, you know, I miss this person, but, you know, I'm still going to follow the band anyway.
I guess that's a really good point that you make, that a lot of bands will lose members. And...
Oh, all the time.
I think...
The thing is, too, though, like, I mean, it's different in Blink-182's case because they have two singers, obviously, so there's definitely going to be something missing, you know, regardless. You don't have Tom singing his parts on songs. But with bands, with most bands, with one singer, it's like, well, as long as the singer's still there... And you're going to, I mean, it's going to sound like them, but if you have like, if it's like an, you know, there's tons of classic rock bands that still tour with other singers that aren't, you know,
that weren't members of any original lineup, but it's like the bass player is the only original
right,
member.
The only
it's like,
original
why,
member.
Why are we still doing this?
And they can still call him Jethro Tull or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and still make, you know, money on these tours and stuff. And that, I'm just like, well, I don't know about that. But I mean, you're still getting 2/3 of Blink. They're playing all the songs you want to hear.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, so I love that point that bands. So many bands come and go with new and old members. Now, the unique thing about Blink, and I mean, even with a band like Green Day, Billy Joe Armstrong leads Green Day. Billy Joe, and then there's Trey Cool behind the drums and Mike Dirnt.
Yep.
Now, your right. average person wouldn't know Trey Cool and Mike Dirnt. Your average person
Correct.
Would know Billy Joe. The thing about Blink Correct. Is in the 90s, during the Backstreet Boys era, when Blink became popular, they yep. were with Backstreet Boys. They're packaged in with Eminem. They became their own thing. Mark, Tom, and Travis were... I would say decently household names. Mark Hoppus and Tom DeLonge, like, their personalities made Blink who it was. So it's not and Travis Barker was
right.
had his own sound behind the drums. So each yep. member had their own personality that made it Blink. It wasn't like replace bassist
right.
here, replace guitar player here. Yeah, so they all have their own personalities, and also along with the band, they obviously brought the perversions and the jokes, and Mark and Tom just complimented each other. So now it's like, excuse me, I have to burp. Now it's just like, it seemed like a part is missing. It like a band like Taking Back Sunday, a band like, you know, nobody really knows the members. Adam Lazara is the only one from and John Nolan. But, you know, people leave these right. bands, these alternative bands, and even a band like Fall Out Boy, like Pete mm-hmm. Wentz and Patrick Stump, you know, do you know the mm-hmm. other two?
Couldn't tell you anybody else.
Andy and the other, Andy's the drummer. I've done like five.
Maybe you can do this. I was playing this game the other day. I was, and maybe you can do this since you work in pop radio, and maybe you just know, or maybe you've met them or whatever. But can you name any other member of Maroon 5 besides Adam
God.
Levine?
oof. It's got to suck.
Nobody.
To be
nobody
who's
can.
Not Adam Levine. It sucks to be anybody.
Nobody can.
Isn't that kind of cool to be able to like be a professional bass guitar player that plays Madison Square Garden, is a millionaire, but no
yeah.
one knows who the F you are?
Easy money, probably, I guess.
And you can live a regular That's life. It. Like, yeah, wow, I never
yep.
even thought about that.
Yep, and they're a nobody. That's like my favorite example of it. It's like Maroon 5, name a member that's not Adam Levine.
There's a dude named Mike. No,
I'm gonna go memorize their lineup, just so I'll have that answer ready.
Let me
like,
ask, I'm gonna
in my holster.
I'm gonna ask Siri, hang on. Siri, who are the members
Siri doesn't even know.
Of Maroon 5?
Let me check on that. Here is what I found.
Okay. All right. So she brings them all up. Adam Levine, James yeah. Valentine, Ryan Dussek, and Matt Flynn. And nobody, but who cares about those people?
Yeah. Matt Flynn. Oh, man. Matt Flynn. My favorite.
He's such a good musician.
He's a drummer. He's a drummer.
I was hoping that Siri would just pull up Adam Levine. I was like, where were we? Yeah. So replacing Tom with Matt Skiba, then Mark and Travis. Went on to talk about how they're doing an album, and it's been since confirmed that Travis and Mark
yeah.
are doing an album with Matt Skiba now. And
right.
I am pumped up for it. I am excited. I think that, I mean, this is now years later after the last Blink self-titled album came out. I kind of mm-hmm. felt like that album, when it came out, I felt like it was the Bible, and I listened to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I loved it.
Right.
But I think I loved it mainly because I was missing new Blink songs. So they could have put out an album that was just static, that was just, and I would have been like,
yeah.
this is so inspiring. You know?
Right.
But so I feel like that album kind of lacked a lot, and that's because the band, the three guys, weren't really in the room. Mark, Tom, and Travis were recording and sending each other files from different studios, and then they came out
right.
with their EP, Dogs Eating Dogs, which they did write mm-hmm. together, Mark, Tom, and Travis, and I felt like that was so much better than the self-titled album. It was Dogs Eating Dogs to me was, I was really excited to hear a new Blink album because Dogs Eating Dogs kicked ass, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was so good, yeah.
You liked it too. Like they didn't.
I did. I love my. I mean, I love the title, the song, Dogs Eating Dogs. Like I was just like, man, if I could just get an album of just like this, I was just like, you know, I'm all for it. And I thought like I thought that was what was gonna happen. I was just like, I'm just giving me another Blink album now, but
exactly. And I don't know. So I was excited. I was looking forward to the future of Blink with that sound, and. Then that all this shit happened with Tom, and now we're getting Matt Skiba. And So I am super pumped. I'm pumped about Matt Skiba. I'm pumped about the sound because I think Blink needed a kick in the ass or something different. But I think for them to call it Blink 182, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think if it was up to me, if I made the decision, if I said, hey, Mark and Travis, I feel like they should say Blink 182 featuring Matt Skiba. I feel like that should be their artist title. I don't know. And
there's plenty of other roads to go down with that. I mean, you know, of what to call it and whatnot. Because then you get in the scenario, and I can't predict the future, so I don't know. You say Tom comes back in like 5-10 years, and let's say like, you know, their run with Skiba was like really, really good. You know, they've made a couple albums or something, and we all like fell in love with the songs. Hypothetically, well, it's not like. It's not like Tom's going to come in and agree to play those songs in 10 years, you know,
or
that
maybe,
we liked in this amount of time.
Or maybe he will. Or what about this? Imagine if, and I was talking about this with a friend the other day, imagine if years down the road, Tom joins Blink-182 with Matt Skiba. They become a four-piece.
Right.
I would be supportive of that. That would be one of the coolest punk rock bands. Blink meets Alkaline Trio, like... Already it's going to be cool, but if you add Tom, Nick, I mean, that's probably not going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen. But you know what? Another thing that could be funny, imagine if – so are you familiar with their original drummer, Scott Rayner?
Yeah.
So, he did Buddha, he did Cheshire Cat, he did Dude Ranch, and a couple other demos.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Tom says, fuck you. You guys are going to go be Blink-182 with Matt Skiba. Well, I'm going to go start an alternative Blink-182 with Scott Rayner. So now it's Scott, Tom, and then they get some other guy. They get someone else from a cool band to play bass. Now we have two Blink-182s. Would you imagine?
Yeah. This reminds me of, I mean, Pink Floyd is one of my favorite bands, and it reminds me of this story where, like, in the mid-80s, their bass player left, Roger Waters, and, like, so Pink Floyd continued without him. And then, like, they were playing in the same cities when they were touring in, like, the late 80s. And, like, Roger Waters was just getting, like nobody because everybody was going to, like, the Pink Floyd shows.
Wow.
Like, he didn't have the name built up. Yeah. So it kind of reminds me of that. And there's another one, too. I feel like there's – I would have known this probably, like, 10 years ago. But, like, there's definitely been times when, like, I can't think of the bands right offhand. Definitely classic rock, but where, like, they've toured. Like separately, and been like, this is this with this person, you know, leading or whatever. And so, like, you know, it's like, well, who do you choose? Like, you know, it's like, whose side are you on?
I try to not choose sides, and just when the whole thing first broke, when Mark and Travis said, all right, we're playing this show with Matt Skiba, and we're going to move forward with Matt Skiba, that same week, or maybe a week, maybe it was like 2 weeks later. Tom had a brand new album out just as Tom DeLonge that were like demos, odds and ends he put on it. Now, I seem to think my take on that was that he had a bunch of demos that he was making for Blink with Blink.
Right.
And he didn't want them to use any of his ideas. So he was like, all right, I'll quickly throw this together and just put out an album. And to be honest, I fucking love it. I love it. Have you heard the Tom DeLonge solo album?
I saw a music video from it, and that's whatever song that was that I saw the music video for is the only song I've heard from it. I heard good things, though. I haven't checked it out.
Is that the one when he's walking around the city with his guitar over his shoulder?
Yeah.
Barely a music video. It sounded like Dude Ranch. It had the same writing style. There was no reverb. And also, Tom's been killing it musically, because before he put out the Tom DeLonge solo album, he had the new Angels and Airwaves album with the drummer from Nine Inch Nails now.
Yes.
And I don't know if you heard that album, but that was...
I did.
I personally loved it. Angels and Airwaves, he took away the reverb, he took away all that, the spacey stuff, which was great, but I felt like this was like a new step in a new direction for Tom. So, so I thought he was killing it, so I really supported the new album that he put out.
You bring up a good point, though, about like him just rushing it out so they couldn't use... like his ideas.
That's not crazy, right? You agree that could have been...
No, absolutely.
Because I'm like, what?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're like, we're going to do this with Matt Skiba. And then, like, literally the next day, Tom had one song out or a preview of a song. So I bet you Tom saw the news and he was like, fuck this. I'm getting in the studio. But what sucks is that it takes something like them to say Matt Skiba for Tom to get inspired to jump into a studio. And all, I bet you we spent 2 weeks recording that album. So why the fuck couldn't he use that energy on Blink? It was just like, it's funny how life works like that.
Yeah, that's also true.
So now we're sitting here and Tom, the most recent news, again, Pat texts me and he's like, dude, check this out. Tom said that it would just take a few phone calls. And it's funny because this is out of context, you know, like this was a conversation he had with somebody, and I'm sure that it was a really minuscule part of the conversation, but it makes all these punk rock news headlines because, of course, it's Tom. Yeah. But I think the question was, what would it take for Blink-182 to get back together? Notice how Blink-182, they're not considering it with Matt Skiba. I like that. But notice how they said, what would it take for Blink to get back together? And he said a couple of phone calls. Yeah. So, and of course, the Blink-182 world, should I say, goes crazy over this. Because I'm sure for Tom, he's still sitting there like, I'm going to do me right now. And I don't know how long I'm going to do me. But if they want me back in the band, I'll be back in the band. Because he never really quit. So I'm curious to see the course of action. I'm curious if Mark and Travis are just like, fuck this guy. We're going full speed with Matt and we're not looking back for Tom. I hope that's not the case. I would like to hear new music with Matt Skiba. I think that could be really, really freaking dope. I think it could be really awesome. But for sure. Tom made Blink-182. Tom is Blink-182 just as much as Mark, more than Travis because he started it. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. Maybe a fist fight.
I don't either. I want to know who's going to make the call. I mean, just a few phone calls. Like, can Tom just call him? Like,
exactly.
I feel like it rests. I mean, honestly, I feel like it rests more on him because I'm sure Mark and Travis has done what they can and they're just not looking back at this point. So I feel like if Tom still wants to be in the band or still wants to like make something happen, it's going to fall on him. Otherwise, he's going to keep waiting and keep doing him, as you said, and they're going to go make this album with Matt Skiba. And it's going to be too late. It's going to be, you know, the moment will have passed.
It's going to be printed. Now, I think that no matter what, I think even if Tom was like, guys, I want back in, if he says that tomorrow, I think that Mark and Travis are going to say, fuck you, we're doing this. I think the album with Matt Skiba, however they package it, is going to happen. It's happening no matter what. And so I am excited for that. Now, it's what happens after that I'm curious about. It's if Tom wants back in 2 years, what do they say? Do they say no? Can they say no?
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a loose thing they have with Matt Skiba. Like, all right, we'll do this album and we'll kind of see what happens. I'm sure that's what it is.
I mean, they could say no if it's going really well and they're still touring and, like, it's selling out. I mean, if they're having a good run, I mean, I could see them possibly saying no.
Fuck.
If Tom wanted to get back in, you know, I who knows? He might see that it's going well and either not want anything to do with it or want to, like, you know, I'm not saying Tom's evil by any means, but I wouldn't say he'd want to come in and screw it all up and be like, hey, I want back in. But I don't know.
It's got to be.
We don't know.
It's got to be weird for Tom right now or when, if they were to come out with something with Matt Skiba, it's got to be weird because Tom helped build this.
It would be weird.
He helped build this whole Blink-182 empire. And I say that there are, they're like, even Blink-182 themselves were surprised when they were selling out Jones Beach two nights in a row. Like, still. Like, people, Blink fans exist. Aliens also exist. Mm-hmm. They do.
True.
And so, but it feels wrong. Something about Matt Skiba singing Tom's songs felt a little wrong, but it's kind of like, it felt wrong, but it also kind of felt right, you know? Like, and Matt Skiba, he wasn't flaunting it on stage. He wasn't.
It's like they're cheating on us, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, they're cheating a little bit, but.
Yeah,
I guess Tom. It was Tom's fault initially. I guess. I wish we will never know the full story unless one of us becomes friends with Blink-182.
That's true.
Shoddy me.
Well, I don't know how much else we can delve in. I just want to end and say when I heard this news, I was up all night, and then I was down, and I just want to say to Blink, I miss you.
Yeah.
Damn it. I could keep going with puns.
And for God's sake, stay together.
Yeah, stay together for the kids. Yeah, perfect. Yes, end on that one. Stay together for the kids. Oh, my God.
That was really good. Ridiculous. I was like, I didn't want to speak, and I didn't want to ruin your flow.
it was starting to go downhill, so you saved me at the end. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to do another. Like, it was starting to. go down, but you used the down one already. Hey, now I'm fishing. We'll stop fishing.
Yeah, I was getting too boring and pathetic.
Oh, you know. Dick lips. But now I'm just saying random shit. I also want to mention that Tom's new album, he had a bunch of joke songs on there. Like really well-produced songs about fucking your dad and pissing in your mouth and shitting on your chest. And I was like, wow.
Well, see, maybe Blink was going to go back to that kind of formula, like, of, you know, it was like a return to form almost of, like, their heyday. You know, maybe that was the plan. Maybe when they were getting ideas together, they were like, well, let's put some more goofy stuff on here and just, see how it goes. Maybe. I don't know. It's pure speculation.
Through the years, but I've been sitting here hoping for Blink-182 to put out a funny music video, because the last two albums, all their videos have been pretty just straight up videos. Like, that's what got Blink to where they were. It was What's My Age
for
Again?
Sure.
Three random dudes running naked. It was all the small things making fun of the Backstreet Boys. All their videos.
First date
is one of the funniest videos of all time. When Tom pushes that kid, Tom pushes a kid into the pool. That's just so funny.
It's so funny. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess them having kids and growing up a little bit. Growing up, I guess. Oh, yeah. I'm done with the corn. But
well, none of the self-titled album had any like funny videos.
No funny videos from that. What was your favorite side project of all the side projects? You got Boxcar Racer, Plus 44, Angels and Airwaves, and Slippery Nipple.
It was Plus 44.
Oh, it was Plus 44. See, it was for me. Boxcar Racer was unreal. I loved it.
I loved Boxcar Racer too. I remember getting that album. For some reason. Maybe it's just because I was a little older, obviously. I don't know, Plus 44, like, because I still, from time to time, it's been a while now, that seems to be the one I revisit more than anything else.
There are a lot of great songs on that album.
Yeah, well, I remember I briefly DJed at a college radio station back home, like, right after high school, around the time that album came out, and I remember playing the song 155.
It's great. That was the example. It's a great song.
Yeah, I would play it a bunch, so I kind of associate it with that time period.
Yeah, it's a great album, but all right. So hey, dude,
it is.
Let's keep me posted on Blink stuff, because I know you'll text me.
I will. We'll revisit this in 6 months to a year and see what happened. See if any of our predictions ended up becoming correct. And we'll have you back on the show for sure.
Yeah,
whenever
this is
a
fun
topic arises. This was fun. And last thing I want to say. Don't leave me.
Oh, good. That was very cute. I love you,
been
Pat.
Been holding it. Love you as well. We'll do this again.
I want to fuck a dog in the ass. Goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.